Fans, well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Oh, yes. Drew Holiday is having himself a playoff, that's for sure.
Pelicans lead by two. Holiday yet to move. Now starts walking the dribble towards Zach Collins. Steps into a three. Bang! Got it! Drew Holiday!
33 points, a playoff career high for him. We'll hear what he had to say about playing so well. Also, Damian Lillard, what it's like to have been shut down. Boy, has the national media not been kind to him for not stepping up. Scott Kushner, the Advocate, is going to join us next segment to break down what he saw. And can the Pels actually do the unthinkable? Sweep. Ty Graffanini at 2:05 will give us the Tulane side of things. Tulane LSU, 6:30, Griffield Turchin Stadium. Bryant Johnson as the Colonels get on the diamond again tonight. Mississippi Valley State. The voice of the Colonels will give us a preview coming up at 1:45. And Dino Hanson and I at 2:15 will go over the other storylines going on in the NBA. Boy, some shade from Drew Bledsoe. And Terry was here. Yeesh. Hey, welcome to the Midway Point of Your Work Week.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more than what that camera Wednesday hump day really is.
I said Drew Bledsoe. I meant Eric Bledsoe. Sorry. Drew Bledsoe is a completely different
person. Threw me off on that one.
Yeah,
I was like, why is Drew Bledsoe in the news?
Well, I had Drew in my head, and yeah.
Yeah, Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
So even the wrong Drew.
No, I said
Drew.
Not
even spelled the same.
Look, there's a lot of thoughts going around the house.
That's a hell of an excuse.
Words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
A lot of thoughts. Congrats to Christian winning today's pair of Jazz Fest tickets.
Mm-hmm. Not Drew.
We'll have two more pairs of Jazz Fest tickets to give away tomorrow and on Friday when we are live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saints Kitchen in Tap. A couple of games in the NBA playoffs tonight that you can tune into. Pacers and Cavs. We'll go over that with Dino a little bit here. No way Indiana can do what the Pels have done and go on the road and win two. That is your 6 o'clock game on TNT. Jazz Thunder on NBA TV. OKC lead that series 1-0. 4.5-point favorites. And the T-Wolves and the Rockets. Houston won 104-101 or 100. And they're up 1-0. 8:30 is the tip time on TNT. Houston, a 10.5-point favorite in that one. Last night, Raptors won 130-119. 44-27 first quarter by Toronto. DeMar DeRozan, a player career off high, 37 points for him. Celtics go up 2-0. They defeat Milwaukee 120-106. Jaylen Brown, 30 points for him. And Terry Rozier, 23 points. And as I said, Eric Bledsoe was asked who he was, and he used an expletive and said he didn't know who that is. Giving him no respect. No props. Anyway. So, Pepito, 800-998-1003. Love to hear from you, Pels fans. We've thrown a question out there. What are some of the things that really have stood out to you from the two wins that this team has done? For me, you can even say headline maybe, or what's a word to describe it, or what's a headline to describe what the Pels have done? We can have some fun with that if you want to tweet that way. But to me, in Game 1 and Game 2, two also plays have really contributed to the two road wins. In Game 1, the two rebounds by Anthony Davis and then leading to the two free throws to seal that. And then in Game 2, two also of the loose balls by Drew Holiday shedding off three trailblazers from getting the basketball. Rondo in the left corner doing the same. Both led to three-pointers. One by Holiday, one by Rondo. Were huge. Absolutely huge. How about the Pels' third quarter? 33-19 they win it. To race a 5-point deficit at halftime. They were being out-rebounded, by the way, at halftime. They wound up winning the rebounding battle, 50-49. They were getting killed in the paint. In the first quarter, 18 of the 23 Trailblazer points in the paint. Yet the Pels wind up at the end of the game with 50-46 points in the paint, their favor. And again, the most unbelievable stat to me, Anthony Davis was held scoreless in the fourth quarter. He actually didn't score in the last 16 minutes and 29 seconds. That's incredible. They won by 9. The fact they were in the game. Because when AD rested, Blazers came back. When Drew Holiday rest, Blazers come back. No way anybody listening would have thought that if Anthony Davis went scoreless in the entire fourth quarter, the team would have won. Now, he did finish with 22 points and 13 rebounds. I mentioned in hour number one I was going to get a little bit more into it. Nikola Mirotic. What a ridiculous move that turns out to be. I get it. And look, where we used to, in following the NFL and following the draft, know the importance of first-round picks. And with the Pels, especially in the Gentry Demps era, first-round picks, and even in the Dell Demps era, they've been used as trading pieces, right? Either before you get them, or you actually use the pick and you trade them. But I'll ask you, right, because if you were going to be a playoff team, that was your hope and your belief. You're not going to be in the lottery if you are a playoff team. Teams in the lottery are the teams that are left out of the 8 spots in either the East and Western Conference. So you're going to get probably anywhere between 10 to 12, 14, something like that, depending on where the Pels would have finished. But if you wanted to be a playoff team and thought you were going to, you weren't going to be in the lottery. And what we've seen the last several years in the NBA draft, really the upper part of the lottery, you have to really get into to get a dynamic player. I mean, AD, number one player overall. Okay, boom, you see the difference. Right? Lillard, top 10 player. I get it. Anybody you think coming out of the draft would have given you what Nikola Mirotic has given you? I just love what he brings to this team and what you can do. And look, I get it. We had a caller earlier. I believe it was Corey that said, you know, is this team better without Boogie Cousins? What do you do next year with Mirotic? You find a way to make it work. You find a way to make it work. That guy helps you on both ends of the floor. In game one, AD, 4 blocks. You're used to that. Mirotic, 4 blocks. Mirotic, 17 points, 8 rebounds yesterday. And again, as I said, it's just the same amount of blocks as AD. 2. 0 turnovers, 2 blocks, 8 rebounds, 8 on the defensive end, 17 points, knocked down his 2 free throws that he was in, and knocked down 3 three-pointers. That guy's just a solid basketball player, man. You find a way to keep him on the court. He's good. He's good, and he can get up and down the court. I don't know if it makes sense. Put Boogie, AD, and Mirotic in there. That's some size. That is some size, if you could do that. He always comes up with some rebounds. He's so good on defensive end, doesn't commit fouls. He's just so good when it comes to that from that standpoint. It was so much fun to watch. And, of course, Rajon Rondo, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, a dish shy of a triple-double, just doing what he's been doing, playoff Rondo. But Drew Holiday, picking up 3 early fouls, gets his 4th foul early in the second half, and Coach Gentry decides to stay with him. Coach Gentry on the decision to keep Drew Holiday on the court because, folks, when he goes to the bench, Pels are in trouble.
I mean, I think he's smart enough to play with fouls. And, you know, more so than anything, we wanted to get him out for a few minutes to give him a rest because we knew that, you know, down the stretch we were going to have those guys. And what we try to do over the course of the game is that we try to save as many timeouts as we can so that if we have to use them as rest timeouts, we can use them as rest timeouts also.
A lot being made nationally, and especially after the game, by the TNT crew, whether it's Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, on the job Drew Holiday is doing on Damian Lillard. A lot of people calling out Damian Lillard saying he's not stepping up his game. I think you have to give credit to what's happening. Drew Holiday has elevated his game. I loved what Kenny Smith, Charles, and Shaq said about the game yesterday, even at halftime. Barkley said he loves competition. He loves seeing these guys compete. And Kenny Smith's like, oh, don't think that Rondo and Drew didn't get tired of hearing they're about to face the best backcourt in the NBA, or one of the best backcourts in the NBA, and they're never mentioned. Because both guards for the Pels have come out and outplayed Portland. I mean, they have. But a lot's being made about the defense that Drew Holiday is having right now on Lillard. Drew, the key to stopping him?
Just being aggressive. I think it's a team effort, though. Everybody's being aggressive. We know that he's the head of the snake. Like you said, he can get 30 or 40 anytime he wants to. But I think for him, as well as CJ, we just try to make it tough. In the playoffs, it's a little bit more physical, so we can be a little more physical. But really just always got to have a hand on him. Always have to know where he is. Offensive rebounds, he gets a lot of open threes that way. So when they get offensive rebounds, I really just try to stick to him.
Lillard, after the game, commenting on whether or not he thought Drew Holiday, because, of course, lots of national football, you know, starting to say, hey, is he one of the better two-way players? Why is he not getting the respect as one of the better two-way players or defensive players in the league, Lillard?
I mean, I think he is. In my opinion, I think he's one of the best defenders out there on the perimeter. But I think in this series, he's just playing well. You know, I think, you know, he's big and crafty. And coming off that pick and roll, you know, he's able to get those floaters and get to the rim, you know, and he does that well. So, you know, maybe we need to change the attention that we're giving him, you know, make it a little bit harder, send two guys in those situations. But he's playing well on both ends. He's impacting the game on both ends of the floor.
One of the things that I found really cool at halftime, especially, and even after the game, Kenny Smith using a little telestrator and a big board, and he was going over what Drew Holiday was doing so well in that first quarter. And he's talking exactly what Lillard just described using his words. When he does that pick and roll and all of a sudden he puts Lillard behind him, he's so big that Lillard can't go around and try to get the ball, can't really stop him. And then it was just really just Drew getting to the basket uncontested. That's their whole series. Unless they start to throw some other players to him. And if that's the case, man, I really think the Pels can do damage. You're focusing on AD. I get it. But the other guys are available and ready to do that. And are ready. Again, 16 minutes, 29 seconds. AD goes scoreless, and his team wins. Credit Davis. Understanding shots aren't going down for some reason. Still, defense, rebounding, assist. The defense is still going to commit him when he touches the ball. It's something that Dino and I have touched on in the past when AD didn't get the touches. If you just throw him the basketball, whether he shoots it or not, it's going to create reaction. The defense has to react. 23, wearing a Pelicans jersey, touches the basketball, people are just not going to stand still. They're going to react. When they react, other plays can be made. AD.
Anytime I, you know, step on the floor, you know, teams try to game plan for me, and all these guys step up. Nico made big shots. Doe made a big three. A big layup. Drew, of course, played Drew basketball. Ian made tough shots. Etwan. All those guys, Darius, hit a couple threes. All these guys stepped up, and you know, they know that the ball's coming to them. You know, the more teams try to take me out, the more these guys step up every night, and they got to continue to do it for the rest of the series.
I mean, he mentioned Ian and Darius Miller there. Two monster threes when Portland was trying to take over the lead and just going back and forth. Again, it just – what I enjoyed watching yesterday as we go to break, Pepito, is – you're watching and you're rooting because it's your team, right? It's your city's team. Of course you want them to do well, right? The more notoriety, the more pub the city gets. I love it. I love New Orleans being in the mix of things. It's great. That's legit playoff basketball that you saw yesterday, though. You put another jersey name on it, another team's name, another city's name, you'd have been impressed with what you saw the first two games, much less last night. Like, that was good, legit basketball. Defense, hustle, dunks from, you know, Drew Holiday, the alley-oops to Anthony Davis, the threes in clutch situations, the hustle to get the board. I mean, if you can't be a fan of what you watched the last two games, then we're never going to convert you to watch the game, because that was as good as it gets. Scott Kushner will break it down with us next. Don't go anywhere. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
We've got two wins. We have to come up with two more. That was our message to the team, and that was their message to each other, that we hadn't done anything yet. We've got two wins, unless we've got to try to find a way to get two more.
Head coach Alvin Gentry following the 111-102 win at Portland. They take games 1 and 2. Game 3 tomorrow night at the Smoothie King Center. Game 4 is Saturday at 4 p.m. Scott Kushner, the Advocate, joins us to talk a little bit about those first two wins and look ahead to games 3 and 4. Scott D. Kushner is the way to follow on Twitter. Scott, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing okay. I'm starting to fear for my Jazz Fest plans all of a sudden.
Uh-oh. Are you pinching yourself?
This might go a little longer than I thought.
Well, you never know. Hopefully it doesn't, Scott, because I've asked,
you know, a whole other series to go.
No, I hear you. Look, I threw out there on ESPN Radio NOLA, what was the one thing that kind of standing out in a lot of people's mind? Defense is really standing out. I used the word poise in game one that stood out to me. Game two, hustle. I mean, the Drew Holiday out-rebounding or hustling that loose ball that turns into a three by him. Rondo doing the same thing that turns into a three. I mean, in those two games, hustle and poise are what really is why they're up 2-0 to me.
They've done a lot well defensively, and for about six quarters. They had some trouble in the first half last night, but when you look at the schematics of what they're doing defensively and the way they've been able to limit Lillard and McCollum, it is not just praying for open shots to miss, and that has really been the key, which is they've bottled them up by blitzing all these pick and rolls, and what they allowed in the first half yesterday was a ton of offensive rebounds and allowing Nurkic to kind of slice through them as Portland adjusted and was passing out of it. And then they adjusted again, the Pelicans did, and totally took away that offensive glass. They totally took away those shots to the rim. And sure, it helped that Nurkic got hurt, but at the same time, the Pelicans really proved how pliable they can be defensively. And I think that has been the key to this series. And when you have a guy like Drew Holiday locking up Damian Lillard, that has become a humongous storyline in this series, because they need Lillard the same way that the Pelicans need AD. And Lillard is just absolutely not getting that level of production right now. And a lot of it is credit to Drew Holiday, and a lot of it's credit, honestly, to Darren Erman at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think one of the things that you've seen is these guys step up. But Scott, no way you would have thought this team wins, much less by 9, when the game is tied, and then you look up and you realize, and I honestly didn't, and I don't know if it was the flow of the game, I don't know if it was the shots that were being made, but I was shocked at the end of the game. I realized AD was held scoreless in the fourth quarter in the last 16 minutes, and that there's no way they win that game, but they did.
Yeah, I mean, and I think what I've been saying the whole season is, you know, everybody sort of discounts Anthony Davis. You just sort of expect him to score 35 points, and if he doesn't, and he doesn't take over the game, that, you know, they lose. And the Pelicans have really proven that wrong over the last few weeks. AD's had some off nights. They've found ways to win against some pretty good teams, and last night was in a huge setting. And the real difference right now, and I think obviously Drew Holiday is playing at a superstar level, but when you look at what Nico Mirotic is doing as a complementary piece, and all of a sudden that is a huge difference when you're getting 1-for-7 Nico Mirotić, which you had for a couple of weeks there,
yeah.
versus now you're getting a guy who makes 3 and 4 3-pointers a game, a guy who's defending, a guy who's rebounding, a guy who's locked in. This team is totally different. And he's able to get his own shot up, which is also critical. I mean, that 3-pointer he hit in the last, you know, minute and a half, whatever that was, after Portland went down and scored to take the lead, he goes back and hits that rainbow 3-pointer with really no play. He just kind of shot a mm-hmm. three over a guy. You can't make up for that any other way, and that is a huge piece of what's gotten this team to this point.
I'm telling you, that move to go get Mirotić is going to go down as one of the better ones easily in a Dell Demps era. I mean, when you think of it, yes, it was for a first-round pick. Who are you getting that's going to give you what you've gotten so far today? And, you know, it's the play on both sides of the floor that stand out to me. AD, 4 blocks in game one. Mirotić, 4 blocks in game one. AD, 2 blocks in game two. Mirotić, 2 blocks in game two. And he rebounds, defense, floaters, threes. He's just a solid overall basketball player.
Yeah, and that's really just what you weren't getting for a long time from him. He really struggled for a couple of weeks there, and everyone was kind of going like, what the heck is going on with this guy? What's the point? And I think everyone's gotten the picture of what he's capable of, and he's basically filled that role that Ryan Anderson had on that 2015 team, and doing mm-hmm. it and doing more in addition, which is he's not just creating space and shooting three-pointers. He's also really crashing the glass. And last night he defended his butt off. He was really good in shutting down some of those drives. He's really good in getting a hand in people's face and forcing shots in the mid-range. And that is a weapon I don't think anyone really anticipated was going to be as prominent as it's become.
Speaking of Scott Kushner of The Advocate, covers the Pels, and Scott D. Kushner is the way to follow on Twitter. Look, it's so funny to see the storyline today nationally. Screaming A is out there saying he's shocked. A lot of the players or the people that cover this league are shocked about the play of Jrue Holiday. One game he missed this year, and it was due to the flu, and a lot of questions were asked of him yesterday. He said, look, I am in a good place. He's happy, things of that nature. But, dude, he has taken over this series. And you saw it in the first quarter, 12 points there. I don't think anyone can stop him one-on-one. It'll be interesting, Scott, to see what they do in Game 3, because Lillard kind of hinted after the game yesterday they're going to have to change things up and maybe make it harder for him to do that. But are you surprised by what you've seen from Jrue Holiday in the series? I know he's played well this year, but he's been the best player on the court sometimes, if not the whole series.
Surprise is not the right word, because I mean, just watching him play this year, you knew he was capable of had nights like this, and he's been consistent. It's not, you know, he's a really, really good player. He's this season, I believe, firmly believe, he was a top six guard in the league this year when you consider Chris Paul missed 30 games and Steph Curry missed 30 games, all those kinds of things. I believe he should be third-team All-NBA. He's not going to get that, but that's how good he was this year. He is playing, however, like a first-team All-NBA right now. He is mm-hmm. shutting down Damian Lillard at one end and carrying the offense at the other. I mean, that is, you can't even imagine that going into a series of how impactful that would be. He's really winning these games for the Pelicans. I mean, that game one, he didn't even have to, I mean, they didn't even have to score down the stretch. They were completely melting down, and then he, on his own, shut down the fast break, stopped Damian Lillard, and then got a block at the rim. That was three straight plays they won the game. And then last night, they gave him, 5 feet of space? He tracks down the offensive rebound, give him 5 feet of space, he drills a three to basically win the game. It is absurd what he is doing right now. And to say that this is what he's done all season is wrong. I mean, it's not. This mm-hmm. is not what he's done all season. He'd be the freaking MVP if this is what he's done all season, okay? But he has been really good. The idea that he just came out of nowhere is wrong also. Like, the idea that this is some supernova who, you know,
right.
who's Jrue Holiday? That's also wrong. But he has put his game to a different level. Whether or not this is, you know, what you can expect in the playoffs, or whether this is just a two-game, you know, just two great nights, regardless, you expect you're going to have a big night from Anthony Davis in one of these next two, and that should be enough to get them a win, because if they're going to start blitzing against Jrue Holiday on pick and rolls, which is what it sounds like Damian Lillard wants to do, get the ball out of his hands because they cannot stop him from getting to the rim, that's going to open up a ton for Anthony Davis, and it's going to open up a ton for Nico Mirotic standing on the wing. And if either of those guys hit, the series is over, if they do adjust that way. But, you know, Lillard isn't exactly calling the shots with the defensive adjustment. So I think he's just frustrated, and he admitted as much.
Yeah. No, no doubt. And like I said, I think it'd be wrong because you're using that phrase. It would be wrong to assume that, you know, and again, and it's maybe the national folks saying that Lillard's not stepping up. I just think New Orleans has done such a great job defensively on them. And we've seen them shut down players and play some good defense. So I think it's wrong to say, well, they're just bums and not stepping up. You see when they get some space, and I saw you tweet this, and you were right yesterday, if Holiday's on a bench or Rondo's on a bench and it frees things up or AD goes and sits down, not surprisingly, McCollum, Aminu, you know, Lillard gets heated up and they start making shots. There's a reason these guys are missing shots.
Yeah, funny how that happens. All of a sudden, the Blazers' offense is fine once Jarrell goes to the bench or once AD goes. But the rotations are so good. Darius Miller misses rotations. Ian Clark misses rotations. They have a really tight five that they can play. And Ian Clark, you know, is really makes six. They have six basically NBA players right now that they can play. And that's the biggest issue with this team is that they're just not very deep. And you're going to play these guys 42 minutes. I mean, you saw AD was like baffled by having to go to the bench in the second quarter because Alvin's trying to give him, you know, a couple extra minutes of rest.
Right.
They know they have to basically play the whole game. And I think they're fine with it. I mean, this is a series in which, you know, you get at least a day between the games. And that's going to be what it is, which is, you know, it's playoff basketball. You can't be worried about stretching out minutes over an 82-game season. You can't play Cheick Diallo 20 minutes. But the issue, the only issue they have is depth at this moment because it is a different team when either Holiday or Davis is not out there together because it is really, you just notice the complete breakdowns. I mean, I think Darius Miller, two straight possessions, just left guys wide open on rotations, and it's like this is what the Blazers do to people. This is pretty typical, which is that they're really good half-court offense, and they're really good in ISO, and they're really tough to defend. The difference is that the Pelicans are really good defensively when those guys are on the floor, but when they're off, you start to see some of those pieces erode a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. Scott Kushner, you can be followed on Twitter at Scott D. Kushner. Game 3 tomorrow night. Looking forward to that already, and of course, Game 4 on Saturday. Let's see. Let's see what the SKC is going to be about. Jrue Holiday giving a lot of confidence, thinking it's going to be so loud. They're going to have to make adjustments on communication, Scott. I hope that's the case. Let's find out.
We'll see. We'll see. They got to sell those last 500 or so tickets. I'm a little curious about that. That's the step one. But regardless, it will be loud. It will be. People will be amped. It will be a very good environment, regardless if it's, you know, technically so loud or whatever it might be.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Gustavo. Have a good one.
Yep. Talk tomorrow. 8 o'clock is your tip time, Pepito. Looking forward to that tomorrow. When you come back, we'll take your phone calls. We'll go over some tweets as well at ESPN Radio NOLA. Some of the things that stood out to you. Give me a headline. Give me a word to describe maybe the win. We can touch on that. Plus, we'll take a look around and see some other storylines that are happening in and around the world of sports still to come. Bryant Johnson, in about 15 minutes or so, he'll preview Nichols back on the diamond today, taking on Mississippi Valley State. 205, Todd Graffanini, he will give us the Tulane side of things as the Wave and Tigers play baseball in Uptown New Orleans tonight. And at 215, Dean and I will go over the top storylines in the NBA playoffs and the other series that are going on. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back, 800-998-1003, Bryant Johnson on deck. See what I just did there, Jason? On deck. It's a baseball term. We'll be talking a little baseball. It's the Colonels. You ready to play?
Because it's baseball season.
See what I just did?
That, sir.
Hey, hey, hey.
The guru of sports radio right here.
That's why I'm a professional.
Sitting next to me. I can feel the energy.
205, the graph will tell us. What should we think of the Tulane baseball team? They're below 500, but they've won two straight conference series, and they're only one game out, I believe, of the conference lead as well. So we'll talk to him about that. And then at 2:15, we'll look at some of the other NBA playoff matchups that are going on. Pacers-Cavs tonight, 6 o'clock on TNT. Jazz-Thunder tonight, 7 o'clock NBA TV. And then the Wolves and Rockets, 8:30 on TNT. Don't forget tomorrow night's Pels-Blazers game, 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is when it is. A couple of NFL quick stories that we can touch on before we go over to Bryant Johnson. Joe Flacco, quarterback of the Ravens. Is it worried the Ravens draft a quarterback? Titans, they have been poised to exercise Marcus Mariota and giving him his fifth-year option. Obviously, that's expected. Work on a long-term deal there. Also, Texas quarterback Deshaun Watson, remember, he got injured last year. Mobile quarterback. I wouldn't call him a running quarterback, but he's mobile. And he says, look, he doesn't plan on changing his game after the injury that sidelined him for the rest of the season. I'm not going to lie, that stunk watching him get injured. But he was fun to watch with the Texans to see there. And the other big news when it comes to a quarterback, Tom Brady. So Will Brinson, CBSSports.com, says, here's the headline. Tom Brady reportedly hasn't committed to playing in 2018. Patriots carrying on without him. See, apparently Tom Brady, Bifito, hasn't been participating in the offseason workouts. See how important it is to do the stretches, the jogs around the facility, the weightlifting as a team, even though it's voluntary.
Does he normally do that?
It's not mandatory, but, right. You know, obviously him not there, it's a sign of discontent.
But has he, in the past, I'm assuming he's shown up for all
these? I think so, yeah.
He's won how many Super Bowls?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If Drew Brees wouldn't be participating,
you don't
would
have,
you be worried?
Why are you doing it like this?
It makes it...
Oh, dramatic.
Know, yeah, dramatic.
Got it.
Yeah,
again,
dramatic.
Greatest sports guy in town.
Well, you know, yeah, nobody else does this. I'm assuming Brees is here. Oh, yeah. I'm assuming.
Considering what he's done for the team,
but
he can kind of do whatever he wants.
That's what the article is saying. It's like, seriously, Tom Brady is not...
Yeah, how many Super Bowls has he won? How many MVPs has he won?
But he's not working out with the team. See how that makes it so much more dramatic?
No.
If I say he's not working out with the team, it's not the same as if I go, but he's not working out with the team.
I don't like it.
No?
I don't like it.
I like it. By the way, Brady was the MVP last year. He was the MVP. He's the MVP. So, there you go.
Yeah, I would leave that alone. He's the king of Boston. Like, let it be.
A final note before we go to break, and we come back with Bryant Johnson. You know what's tomorrow?
Thursday?
Yes. What is special about tomorrow?
You tell me.
NFL schedules come out.
6 p.m.?
Yes. 3 hours tomorrow of who you want the Saints to play first, where you think the gauntlet will be, all of that. We'll break down the schedule before it comes out better than anyone.
I forgot what the tweet said. Was it 6 Eastern or
it's,
6?
It's in the evening.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it's 6 o'clock
central. Yeah,
I think it's 6. Yeah. But there'll be some leaks throughout the day. You'll start getting, ideas as to who the Saints are going to play. But anyway, so the NFL schedule comes out tomorrow, and yes, that is when you can plan your entire fall, vacations, weddings, and what have you, birthdays, road trips, the works. An interesting schedule, to say the least, this year for the Saints. Quick break. We come back. We'll preview Nichols, Mississippi Valley State, the voice of the Colonels, next on ESPN New Orleans. Bryant Johnson 1 is the way to follow the voice of the Colonels on social media via Twitter. What's going on, Bryant? How are you this afternoon?
Well, we just wrapped up our spring signing day ceremony, which is always nice when you get 8 coaches in the same place at the same time to talk about their program. Went well. We were thinking about you. Wish you could have been here.
There you go. Well, you know, maybe next year. Maybe next year I'll be there. Bryant, you got a little baseball coming up tonight against Mississippi Valley State. And when I look back at this weekend, Would an appropriate headline be Heartbreak Weekend?
Yeah, and I like that you were able to get the word head in there. Since the game ended on a mean ball to the head of an Incarnate Word player. He's okay. He has a helmet on. He's fine. But tough way to go out. You were playing so well Friday and Saturday. You win game 2, 5-2, just cruise control win against one of the best teams in the Southland Conference. Who knew that Incarnate Word would put together the 8-4 start in the Southland. They were 22-12 on the year when we went in there. Game 1 finished the next today at 2 p.m. after we started at 6 p.m. Friday night. We went 13 innings, and we had to suspend it due to storms. Show up at the park the next morning, play the last two innings, and Incarnate wins it on a walk-off. Win on Saturday. You're up 6-3 in the eighth and the ninth. And unfortunately, just the pitching kind of crumbled a little bit. A lot of walks, four walks to hit batsmen, and Incarnate Word takes two out of three. It's just life on the road, man. You go 9 hours, you go 500 miles away, and strange things can happen. But Colonels are still top eight in the conference. They would be in the Southland Conference playoffs, and they've got four more weeks, four more big weekends, and 15 games left to try and solidify that spot.
You know, one of the things I guess I look at, too, is because you mentioned that that was one of the better teams in the conference, and it's a tough place to go and play, and you could have won the series. And, you know, obviously 15 innings, you're that close. Is that maybe the message on the team and the coaching staff is you are this close. It's just a matter of finding that one inning, that extra base runner, that extra out, you know, whatever, to get you those wins?
Incarnate Word is 19-7 at home, but they cannot compare from an overall RPI standpoint with the wins that Nichols has. Nichols still has a couple top 70 wins against Purdue and Mississippi State, and they had turned the corner in conference by winning two out of three against McNeese, by ending Sam Houston State's 11-game conference winning streak. But you need more than just a support system to win on the road, and those insurance runs, late games, are so hard to come by. I think the game just maintained a one- or two-run lead throughout games two and three, and Incarnate Word had two big innings. That's all it takes, and it's a bullpen that was beleaguered after the way Friday played out. And that's what's amazing about spring sports is you can sit here, you can have a plan, your pitcher's out there ready to go 110 pitches for seven innings. All right, well, that's a lot of lightning. We got to suspend the game, and now your whole rotation has changed, and you have new faces that have to emerge when the game picks up. And that was the challenge for Nichols as they lost their closer in trying to finish Friday and Saturday's game. Sunday gets there, it's a three-run lead, and you just tried to find new faces by committee, everybody's favorite word, by committee to close the game. And Incarnate Word, you know, they played the game right. Their manager got ejected in the ninth inning. He spent 5 minutes arguing a call that had no bearing on the game, but it certainly changed the tone and tempo, and after he got ejected, all of a sudden they scored three runs and won it.
Maybe you need to get yourself thrown out to kind of help the career.
I'm ready.
Has a radio guy ever been tossed?
Of course. Absolutely. We never stay our place. We make ridiculous, asinine comments all the time. I'm sure umpires and referees love to eject broadcasters. It'll never happen on my watch. If you can't start it, you never know, but it definitely happens.
That would be something. I would definitely be looking forward to that weekly interview with Brian Johnson. Tossed from the game. I could hear the call, too. You know, you're like, hold on a second. You hear, like, the window open up, and you're, hey, you're an idiot. Yeah, whatever.
Well,
so
Brockmeyer, baby. And you saw Brockmeyer's in New Orleans for season two. So that's the goal here. It's what we all aspire for.
Dude, that is a great show. Mississippi Valley State, how important is this win considering – you have an SLU team on deck, two on the road, obviously one on Sunday, I believe, is the one in Thibodaux. But they lost to USM 12-4, and they've been struggling as of late. They started out hot, and they're probably on their side in that dugout trying to get things going here towards the end of April and the beginning of May. So kind of a big one to get this one in, and then a big series this weekend against SLU.
Yeah, and we've been amazing in midweek series, especially when you're able to bring in some regional SWAC schools and have an opportunity to really set a precedent going into each weekend. 31 runs last week against Alcorn in two games, a 13-6 win, an 18-1 win. And now it's another opportunity against a program that you historically had success against. But this weekend is big, and you're all about your business tonight. Southeastern is 12-5 in the Southland. Nobody could win at home last year when we played the Lions. Colonels won in Hammond. Southeastern won both games in Thibodaux. This is your stretch. You're playing all playoff teams except for one series in the final 5 weeks of the year. And the home-away-home split in this Southeastern and New Orleans series is crazy. But nobody else does this in the conference. It's only South Louisiana schools who have the pleasure of never playing a full series in the opposing team's venue. So we'll do this twice in the next month where we'll play two in New Orleans and one in Thibodaux and two in Hammond and one in Thibodaux. They are series on steroids. There's nothing that prepares you for it. You better be ready to play because it's all day of trips. You get on that bus, head up to Hammond, play, come back, do it again tomorrow.
It's crazy when you think about it from that perspective. So I guess that's it's really the key. It's just to get ready for this home stretch and pick up this win tonight.
Yeah, and it starts tonight. It's really been a great stretch here for spring sports. Our softball program is now 50-6 at home the last 3 years. They're 29-13 this year. They had a one-hitter and a no-hitter yesterday and their midweek win. And you're just trying to make sure it's lightning in a bottle until the season ends. Just keep that momentum rolling and carry it into the home stretch, and especially into Sugar Land, which is a destination that we've been unable to visit the last 2 years. Colonel Baseball finished second and third in 2014 and 2015, finished tied for eighth, and have lost the tiebreaker back-to-back years to get it to Sugar Land. We're in eighth all alone right now. You just have to be one of eight to get to make that trip, and then anything can happen.
That's Brian Johnson, voice of the Colonels. Follow him over on Twitter at BrianJohnson1. And then again, that weekend series against Southeastern, you can hear him all three games right here at ESPN New Orleans. Brian, it's always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Let's go, Pelicans. I appreciate it, Gus.
Oh, there you go. There you go, little Pels. You got Pels fever?
I got Rajon Rondo playoff fever is what I have.
We'll take it. We will take it.
At midnight. Let's go, Rajon.
Dude, I love it. I can't wait to see it, man. Thanks, Brian. We'll talk next week, bud.
Bye.
See, he's got Pels fever. Look at you. I just realized you have a Pels shirt. Red Pels shirt.
You're just now realizing I'm wearing a Pels shirt?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a gigantic Smoothie King
logo
there on my shoulder. You can't miss it. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, it's not like your typical, it's the Crescent City basketball.
I love those.
You like that one?
I love that alternative one.
There's so many different ones. You have NOLA basketball, Crescent City
basketball.
I've seen black and gold colors there as well. Like, do you like the, what is it? Do you have like the flying bird and, you know, the all kinds of different logos on there. I like it. Lots of fun. Todd Graffanini gives us the updates on Tulane to take on LSU tonight at 6:30. 2:15, Dino and I will go over the NBA playoffs. Pels Blazers. I'm still pumped from the game last night. Love to hear your opinions as well. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.